passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from that which was read for the epistle at Eucharist, and it's from the book of Acts. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And as they stoned him, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said that, he fell asleep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're celebrating the feast of St. Stephen today. His actual holy day, set aside, is December 26th, the day after Christmas. However, because he is our patron saint, we make a special effort to recognize and to celebrate his holy day, his patronal feast day, as a group in our main worship service. And of course, it's also the day that we've had our annual meeting, so a very important day all the way around. St. Stephen is important because he was the first martyr, called him the proto-martyr, meaning the first, the ideal. And he was the proto-martyr not only because in time he was the first Christian to be offered up as a martyr for Christ, but because of the way that it was done. And his entire life gives us a wonderful example of how we as Christians, and particularly those of us who are at St. Stephen's and who operate in his name, should behave. Stephen was brought into the service of God. He was ordained as a deacon. He was one of the first group of seven men who were asked to be deacons. For those of you that don't understand the orders of holy orders in the church, the deacons were ordered from almost the beginning. The apostles started to have the church grow very rapidly under their witness to the gospel. And it grew so fast that they lost the ability to do the administration for it. And particularly, they were losing track of the widows and orphans and the people who were in need that depended upon them. And of course, that couldn't be the witness that the church gave. And so they decided they would set aside seven men with a Holy Spirit to take the responsibility on their behalf to take care of the widows and orphans that were in the early church. And so it has continued to this day that Deacon Dan and those of us who are priests, who are also deacons, because before you can become a priest, you have to be a deacon, that our very first duty in the church is to take care of those people that present themselves in need. And so Stephen was among those first seven and stood apart for his holiness. He gave witness in the temple to the resurrection, and he condemned those people who, even after Jesus had been resurrected and shown himself and was clearly witnessed to be the Messiah, who still refused to accept him, he condemned them. And because he condemned them, and because they didn't want to have their consciences convicted by his condemnation, they accused him of blasphemy. They took him outside the temple, and they stoned him to death. As he was being stoned, it's recorded that the heavens opened up and he saw Jesus above him in power and glory, and that Jesus comforted him through that trial. So much so that before he died, he emulated Jesus on the cross. And if you'll remember, when Jesus was on the cross before he died, he forgave those who crucified him. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as the proto-martyr, not only being the first martyr in time, but the martyr that sets the standard for the way that we should offer up our lives to God, Stephen also asked for forgiveness for the people who were in the act of stoning him, including a young St. Paul, whose name in those days was still Saul, who, though he wasn't participating in the actual stoning, held the cloaks of the men who did it. And then it says that Stephen fell asleep. That even though he was in the midst of being brutally murdered, he was granted a gentle death. And of course, we are granted a gentle death when we are in the right order in relationship to Christ and when we are making the proper witness. The bywords for Stephen's life are service, witness, and forgiveness. And those are words that we have to live by, especially those of us who operate under the name of Saint Stephen. For those of you that have heard me for a while, I often talk about the privilege that I have to be with people who have led holy lives as they make their passage into the next life. How that is almost always an incredible blessing, that people like that, when they leave, are busy blessing you when you think that you're going to minister to them. They're giving you consolation. They're telling you where they're going, and that they know that, and that they're surrounded by angels, and that they are joyous, and they want you to know where it is they're going and to be at peace, and to know that you're going to join them, and that they're going to pray for you to come and to be with them and to join them. And how beautiful it is when somebody goes like that. But there are also deaths that are not like that. There are deaths that are really hard. And my grandmother was one of those deaths. I was very close to her. She helped raise me because I had an infirmity as a child. And my grandmother was a hard and unforgiving woman. She was French-Canadian. But she believed in the idea of an Irish grudge. An Irish grudge is a grudge in which you keep your anger for 50 years beyond what you remember the reason for being angry was. That you don't need to know any longer why you were mad at somebody, you just stay mad. And you stay mad all your life. When she was dying, that process of going in peace stalled. And for about 48 hours, she labored in her breathing and she muttered under her breath. And for those that didn't know her very well, it seemed like she was just muttering randomly. But for me, who had been with her very much and closely, I understood that the names that she was reciting were the names of every person from whom she had withheld her forgiveness, and every person that she wronged in her life. And she was in her 80s, so she had a long life, and it took her 2 days of meeting those people who were gone ahead of her and to make peace with them. Now, that's not an unusual occurrence, because the truth of the matter is that vengeance and anger and unforgiveness cannot abide the light and the presence of Jesus Christ. And when we go into the next world, the first place that we go is to stand before Christ. And we can't bring our vengeance. We can't bring our unforgiveness. We can't bring our unwillingness to ask forgiveness to heaven with us. We can't do it. We have to resolve it. We have to resolve it either in this world before we go, or we have to resolve it before we're entering into heaven. But we have to resolve it. And so I'm going to encourage you, as we look at this next coming year that we dedicate to Saint Stephen, that you don't wait like my grandmother did, that you don't make your passing a hard passing. That we take the opportunity to look at the people that are around us, the people that are in our lives, and who is it we hold grudges against? Not strangers. We hold grudges against the people that are our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our children. People that are closest to us in our lives are the ones we are least likely to offer forgiveness and from whom we are least likely to ask forgiveness. That's the human nature. It's godly to ask forgiveness. It's part of the things that we have to learn before we can become godly creatures and eternal creatures ourselves. And we need to start the job of asking forgiveness and giving forgiveness now, because we want to go when it is our time in the sweet arms of angels singing and friends holding the door for us, not searching out through time and through the heavens the people that we have let get out of our lives without doing our duty to forgive them or to ask forgiveness. So as the new year comes along, I ask us all to make this resolution, to be like Saint Stephen, to be great saints, to have service for those people who are in need, to witness the gospel, especially by the way that we live, and above all, to epitomize He and Jesus Christ in our willingness to be forgiving and to ask forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.